Okay, Lindsay, talk to me about what it was like for you when you were drinking to use your voice, to speak up. How did that have positive effects and negative effects on your life?
When I was drinking and using drugs, I don't think that I really had a voice. I think I tried, but I was using it in the wrong way, if that makes sense. I wasn't advocating for myself as, like someone trying to make a difference or positive things. It was more using my voice for manipulation and, lying and all those other behaviors. So it wasn't ever like positive,
That's so honest. Thank you so much. Because, I'm just starting to think of the notion of dishonesty. And I used to think dishonesty was solely that I tell people lies, which, yeah, like that has happened before for sure. I tell people what they want to hear in order to please them, keep them feeling comfortable, or get a certain reaction out of them. But what I also started to understand is that dishonesty is not only speaking, it's also withholding truth, right? So, like, not just speaking lies, but also withholding truth. And so, like, in this conversation around like how you use your voice, it's also a little bit about like how you don't, like how you choose to silence your truth and the negative effects that that can have as well. So, yeah, when we speak about advocation, it's like, oh, I don't have the language to speak my needs. I don't have the confidence to tell you what's really going on with me. And those two things, although they seem like inactions, and they kind of are, they're like these neutral inactions, they have their own sort of ripple effect. And I kind of want to hear what advocation is like for you now. I mean, I know you from Twitter and like how beautifully active you are there and the sort of conversations you ignite there. So tell me about what speaking up, using your voice and advocation means now as you're into writing.
Absolutely. Oh, that was beautifully said. There's so many things I was thinking about as you're saying that. So now that, well, it took me a while. So I gotta say that. I gotta make sure I say that because I didn't think I was really worth it or that I was really a good person when I first got sober. I really was hard on myself and I really believed that I was this piece of crap. And I was identifying a lot with things I had done in the past because of my drug and alcohol use. And I kind of was confused about who the true Lindsay was. Like, am I this evil person? And, I really, really questioned that. Was I an evil person or am I this good girl? Like, when I was younger, I was like, such a good kid and such a good girl, and I was so good-hearted. And I was like, I think that's me. So finally, when I started getting staying sober longer and going through the process of healing, I started to discover more about myself and like learning who I am and that I am worth it. And I have to stand up for myself because nobody's going to if it's not for me. And I have to use my voice for positive change in any way I can, and not in the cliche type of way, but it kind of not makes up for, but it kind of like it keeps me sober, first of all, like being able to be loud about my recovery and recovery in general. But it's like so empowering to realize that I don't have to be that person anymore. Like, I'm not that person. And so it's been kind of a journey. And I think that I want to help other people realize that,
I
I really do.
totally understand where you're coming from because I, as I talk about this, like my experience with dishonesty was a lot of the withholding. It does stem from that lack of self-worth and being like, do people even care? Like, if I tell people my truth, will they even care? Because the fear of them not caring terrifies me. And it is really vulnerable to like be visible, whether it's like online or in person. And that low self-esteem, that lack of self-worth is something we get to build and develop when we do, as you say, the healing work. You mentioned that you didn't know if you were worth it. Am I a bad person? A part of my healing journey, one of the most healing, profound things anyone has ever spoken truth into me is what you did doesn't change who you are. It's the realization that as humans, we can take actions that misrepresent the good nature and the like inherent goodness that we are as beings. So for me, it's kind of a spiritual concept, but it is the idea that just because we've done some bad things doesn't mean we're bad people. And if I can believe that I'm good, maybe I can believe that me sharing my story, me showing you who I am, actually can help people and can have a positive impact on the world. And that is so much of the healing journey, right? It's very internal. Like I have to believe that I am good so that I can show you so that the good can happen outside of myself as well. But man, okay, so tell me, what does healing mean to you? Like, what is that work?
Let me think of how I explain it. I think it's a process, and I think that when I first got sober, and I mean like when I went to treatment for the first time and put down the drugs and alcohol, I didn't know what to expect, of course. I didn't understand that it wasn't just about not drinking and drugging and acting on other addictions. I had no idea. And so I start going to different events, treatments, therapist in the I was in the rooms, the 12 step for a while. And I started like hearing all these things. I'm like, these people are like constantly working on themselves. Like, this is wild. Like, this is something. And the weirdest thing too is I used to buy all these self-help books when I was drinking, and like I thought I was gonna cure myself and like I was gonna rehab myself. And I was like, one day, like I swear, like I want to help other people like do something. And it was so wild because I hadn't even like thought about like I'm an addict or alcoholic. I just knew like something was wrong, and I forgot where I was going with that, but the healing journey. I think that I've really grown up because of recovery. I think I was avoiding growing up in addiction and it kept me stuck. So it's like when I started learning more about myself and what was going on with my addiction, I was able to start from there and to really like be introspective and change a lot of things that I didn't think I would be able to change. Like, I thought that they were me, but they aren't.
Like
And
what?
oh, geez. Like, I thought I was just like a liar. I really like prided myself on being manipulative. I thought, like, oh my God, like, that's crazy, right? Like, that's, I'm like, wow. Like, I prided myself on being a con. Like, I'm gonna get my way and, get money and do this and do that. And it's like, but that wasn't the real me. And I know that because I would feel such guilt about becoming this that I had to like set the bar lower for myself. I don't know how to explain that properly, but do you know what I mean? Like, it's like this is what I am now because I couldn't even identify with like that was so against my morals and values that it was like, okay, maybe this is it. And so I tricked myself into believing that this is who I am. And, it's such a wild concept for me now to like imagine that. But healing, making amends with people, that was a big one. I still am for some, but it took me a while. My parents were very done. They were pretty much done. And I don't blame them. I'm surprised they weren't done sooner. But it was always like, sorry, 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 sorry. And it was just an apology was my way of like, okay, I'm gonna say I'm sorry. I'm gonna doing the right thing so I can get some money and go get high. Like it was all manipulative. Everything was like figuring out a means and a way. And that was my whole life. I didn't want to be like that though. It's like, I knew that this isn't who I want to be, but it was, my mind was so messed up, just everything intertwined. So really like learning who I was by treatment, talking to other people, seeing other people that were doing it was huge, big part of my healing, because I didn't think it was possible. So
yeah, you speak to that, you know, we've kind of painted this picture of there is like the who you are and then the who you the act like, you know, and the difference between those two things. One, the who you are, which is kind of inherent. It is inherently who you are, and then like how you act is more kind of like cultural, societal, like learned, conditioned. And I really hear the thread of your intuition, like this knowing of like, I feel guilty, so I know that's not the thing that I want to be doing, right? Mm-hmm. Like, and I even love that I'm kind of a nerd for emotions and like using them as tools, just like the idea that if we feel guilt, it's really like our intuition telling us that's that action's not who you are.
Right.
You actually have a choice. Do you want to act like that again or not? Right. So guilt isn't like an admission of being a bad person. It's an acknowledgement that the action's not aligned with who you truly are in your inherent being. And like that's why I'm a nerd for emotions. So I'm like, oh,
no,
gold.
That's good. It's hard to learn emotions when we get sober too. So that's really awesome, because I didn't even know like how they felt, what emotions were, what, like, it took me a long time.
There's so much to learn. As you say, you come into a group of people or you enter into sobriety, you start meeting people who, right, who are maybe a little bit further down the path than you, and they realize that change is possible for them, and they realize that, you know, they can be a person who continually grows and changes and adapts and becomes like closer to that like intuitive part of who they really are. And then yeah, the Pandora's box is open, and it's a whole ass life journey to just, you know, being who you are and just enjoying life. So I kind of want to hear, like, you know, I'm very spiritual in nature, and at the same time I'm like, I'm living this life and this life is material. So I want to hear what you have experienced. It could be spiritual, it could be material, as a result of speaking up, using your voice, you know, advocating for yourself. What are some of the like gifts that you've received from that being a part of how you now engage with the world?
Great question. And what you said before, that was beautifully said. That's awesome. So many things. So I like you were talking about earlier, I like to be active on social media, and I wasn't this dedicated or, you know, like so into it for a while. Like I was just really into my job, and I kind of like let my job take over my whole life, but I wasn't happy because of that way, you know, but I work in recovery, so I love the recovery aspect of it. I just didn't understand that I'm becoming obsessed with work, and it's not good. But how could I like work, do something for my recovery that isn't part of my job, that makes me feel good and maybe helps other people? See, I have this like imposter syndrome thing too, to where, which I think is common for a lot of us, but to where I'm like, I can't, me? Like, I'm not gonna help anybody. Like, you know, I start doubting myself, and I'm like, there's, you know, I don't know, it's so strange. And I think it is like, just because I can't believe of where I was to where I am now. And it kind of blows my mind sometimes. But just being able to speak out, like, this is what happened to me. And I realized one day that I didn't used to put my last name on anywhere online. And I put like a fake last name. I put VEE. And I thought it was like, because I was still ashamed, and I didn't realize that at the time, because I didn't want people to look up my charges. It was like, I think I wasn't at a stage in my recovery to where I was like fully accepting of this, and I think I had shame. I really do, because now it's like I don't care what anybody knows, because I know inside me, like without a doubt, that that's not who I am, and none of it matters now. And you know, and I can take that and transform it into help for someone else. And so it kind of keeps me going to know that if I can do it and show people, like, because it does blow my mind that I've gone from this to this, but if I can, you know, tell people like, hey, if I can go from this to that and this is what I did, then you can do it too. You know, there's hope. And I think that I needed that hope in the beginning, and that was what really got me going. So I think that's where like my mission, where my head kind of has been at. And you know, I took DCF to court for my background check because they denied me after 10 or 11 years, 10 years of charges, and they just dismissed me entirely. They didn't look into my file, like, and I got them to say that when we're in court. But it just showed like the judgmental people that they're in the business of helping change people, and that's what their job is. You know, the Department of Children and Families watches over all the treatment centers in Florida, and they're in the background exemption thing to like, they need to see that people have been rehabilitated. And so that's literally their job. And they're telling me that I haven't. And I'm like, my stuff looks really good on paper too. Like, I'm not bragging. I'm just mean like I document everything, like every single thing, like treatment, this, that, drug tests from working for years. Like I had everything. I just brought my box here. It's like a box like this full. Like it's crazy. And so they really threw me through a loop. And I think that they kind of don't expect people to think that they're worth it or to fight against them. And it really propelled me more to be like, no, I know that I'm worth it and that I did this work, and nobody's gonna tell me that I'm not this, you know? So I feel like I have a duty now to like be open, you know? Like I feel like I should. I have to in a way, 'cause it's gotta help somebody. I feel like I have to, you know.
Yeah, I mean, you're really speaking to, I've been thinking a lot about and writing a lot about freedom and like the concept of freedom being something that I once identified as what is like given to us. And then I started to realize, oh, a lot of what I used to think of as freedom, I think I now identify as privilege. Or like it's the ability to kind of see like there are some things that are outside of our control. Like people make choices for us. You know, there are legal systems and governments in place that do make decisions that do affect our ability to move and act in the world. And then so for me, I kind of wanted to reclaim the idea of freedom and it be something that I really could control and cultivate and build for myself. So it has been a little bit of an internal journey and like, you know, using my own definitions for things. So I'm not trying to speak for anyone else here. I certainly don't want to like step on toes, as I understand I am also quite a privileged person in the way that I, you know, in the way that I look and in the way that I have been raised, et cetera. So I'm really trying to speak to that like internal freedom piece of what we can control and what we can cultivate for ourselves. And what I'm hearing for you is you're recognizing the areas of your life where you do have the authority and the ability to speak up, to take action, to make a change. And to give yourself permission to take up those spaces and be there and like really put yourself in that position of authority for yourself, where I think so many of us feel that we don't have it, but we really are giving it away. That we have more authority than we think we do. And I want to empower people to test that boundary of where we think we have we don't have authority, and maybe like you're expressing, like maybe speak up a little, maybe step in a little, maybe show up a little taller and test that boundary of like where you think you're supposed to be quiet or where you don't have a say, because more likely than not, you can make some sort of change or impact in your life. I want to hear from you now. What do you believe is possible in your life over the next 5 to 10 years? So big enough, like landscape that things are possible as you continue to act in this sober way, speaking up for and advocating for yourself.
Good question. Very good question. I see myself learning as much as I can. I am in college to be a therapist. So I almost finished that, the bachelor's in that, and I'm going to go on to get a master's in that from somewhere. I don't know. My friend is going to help me with that because she went somewhere. So that's kind of like on my radar is like the direction I'm going in, but I'm trying to be like not so much rigid in what, because I know there's so many possibilities, and I literally just started doing the YouTube thing like a month ago, and it hadn't even occurred to me to do that until a friend was like, "You should do that." And I was like, "Huh? Oh, me? That's not how I'm not." And then I'm like, "Why not? Like, why not?" It's so I think like I'm trying to be open for new possibilities and opportunities at the same time have a direction I'm going in. So it's kind of difficult. But yeah, I hope to be, just getting more opportunities to be able to help others. And I really want to be a licensed therapist. That's really, really up my alley. It really is, so
You're on your way. Congratulations. Oh,
crazy, crazy. There was something I was gonna say, and I can't remember. Dang it. I'll think of it again.
we'll take a pause here.
Okay, cool.